Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Raw Talk Radio with your host, Osman Shabazz.
Welcome, everybody, to Raw Talk Radio. This is Osman Shabazz bringing you another episode of Raw Talk. Right now, we're very heavily involved in bringing on people in the community that are running for different positions in terms of politics. And today, we have a special guest, and we're very honored to have West Ward Councilman Joseph McCollum on. This is going to be a very enlightening show for me as well as you. What I've noticed is that the West Ward doesn't get the attention that it deserves in the political landscape in Newark. I hear a lot of talk about the Central Ward. I hear a lot of talk about the South Ward and the North Ward. But some kind of way, the West Ward, which is a very important ward, doesn't get the same amount of attention. So I'm honored to have West Ward Councilman Joe McCollum on, just so that he can probably give us more information, more knowledge about what's going on in the West Ward. What are some of the challenges and how he's tackling those challenges in the past 4 years and what his plans are for the future. So without further delay, I'm going to bring you Councilman Joe McCollum of the West Ward. How's it going, Councilman McCollum?
How you doing, sir?
I'm doing fantastic, man.
Doing well.
Good.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, as you heard my introduction, one of the things, like I said, is to me, the West Ward doesn't get the amount of attention that it deserves. It's an important ward. And when you do hear about it, unfortunately, there's a lot of negative talk. So I'm hoping that today you can really enlighten the audience and as well as me.
Right.
On what's really happening in the West Ward. But before we get into the details, can you kind of explain for the audience who doesn't know everything about you, your background, some of the things that make you who you are, your military background, and whatever it is that makes you such a qualified person for the West Ward Council position in your particular mind?
Okay. Well, the short version is that, you know, I'm a lifelong Newarker. Grammar school, middle schools, graduated Malcolm X Shabazz. And straight out of high school, I went into the Air Force. I enlisted in the Air Force during Vietnam. And I went into the 5th Mobile Communications, Combat Communications Group, which gave me an opportunity to tour the world and learn, you know, to grow into a man. And so that really is what has guided me from, you know, from there. I got out of the Air Force and I went to college. And so I went to Essex County College and Veterans Upward Bound. And I went there, studied social science, sociology. Then I went to Keene and got an undergrad in sociology. And I ended up at Fairleigh Dickinson with a master's in health services administration, public administration, and certified public manager. But my background was as a licensed professional counselor, which I received from Keene. So I was working at the VA for almost 20 years as a licensed professional counselor, dealing with disabled veterans, post-traumatic stress disorder, drug abuse, mentally ill veterans. And so I developed, you know, my thing is serving. So one thing led to another. I ended up getting involved when I was living in the South Ward in the 90s, and I ran for district leader. And I was the district leader, I think the 5th district, around Hillside Avenue where I grew up. And
right.
Once I moved to the South, I mean to the West Ward, I started getting involved with the UVSO, with community block associations, and while I was working at the VA. So I was volunteering and just growing in the process. And I always, you know, I worked on certain campaigns of candidates that I believed in. And one thing led to another when I went to work for Councilman Ron Rice, and he decided not to run for a third term. So Senator Rice had a discussion with me and Rufus Johnson and asked me to what I consider running, which I had never considered really being anything more than a district leader. But, you know, the background, you know, I'm, you know, I have like 4 degrees and a military vet and volunteer behind me and a professor. You know, I taught sociology at Essex County for like 7 years, urban sociology, introduction to sociology. And I just felt like I was very qualified. I had worked for the city as the emergency preparedness coordinator for 4 years. And then I had been an aide to to Councilman Rice. And so I ran, and, you know, it was an open seat, and I won, and here I am. So, you know, I've grown in the position, and I came into the position, you know, hitting the ground running because I was already out there. I knew it had to be done. I knew what the issues were, and I didn't have to go around trying to find out who to talk to and how to get things done and who was who. So I developed relationships with all the directors now, so. Here I am.
Okay, great.
And well, let me just add, also I'm here, but I'm also on the board of Newark Community Economic Development, which spearheads most of the development in Newark. And that was a strategic move because, as you said, the West Ward was like underappreciated for historically. So this is what has allowed me to really get over $500 million worth of development in the West Ward currently. So.
Excellent.
So that's where we are.
Now,
you
made a good point there, or an interesting point, I should say.
Mm-hmm.
You said historically,
right,
the West Ward has been underappreciated, the tension hasn't really been there, and that it's like, for some reason, not given the same light and attention
mm-hmm.
and concern even
right.
that the rest of Newark is getting and the rest of
right.
the wards. Why do you think that is?
Well, the West Ward was primarily a residential, middle-class, black middle-class residential area. And we got hit real hard with the, with the predatory lending. So for the last 10 years, that has been the real big problem. So many people lost their homes. And with the downturn in the economy, so many people just moved down south, walked away from their homes. So we have an abundancy of properties that are just sitting there, nuisances to the community. And so that's the last 10 years. But prior to that, you know, it's really hard to explain why. I know I make an extra effort, and my colleagues can tell you. Because they just look at me, because I'm always having something coming into the ward, development, different initiatives, and you know I've been pretty successful, and but the issue is that the community, we have like 60,000 residents in the community, and it's hard to really get the information out on what we're doing, because everyone doesn't watch the council meetings. Everyone does not watch. I have a Councilman Joe's Westward Corner TV show. We're on the news. It's just a lot of things we do, but it's hard to get the information out. But rest assured that that's no longer the case. That the Westward We have many initiatives in every area of the West Wards, from lower Vailsburg to Fairmount to Roseville. We have initiatives all over the ward. And so as we move along in the campaign, people can see more. But I believe in showing better than I can tell you. So we're going to be doing some things where people can really see what was there when I got into office and what's there now. And you know, many of the things, I'm sure you know, that things don't move overnight in the city. So
right.
We have many things that are approved already, but they haven't put the shovels into the ground yet. But believe me, when you look around in another 3 or 4 years, you won't recognize the ward.
Right.
And we also have a business improvement district. We didn't have that when I got into office. West Ward was the only ward that didn't have one. So now I got that through with some partners in the ward, but I got it sponsored through the council, and we have a $500,000 budget. So we're doing it in two phases. The first phase is South Orange Avenue, 18th, Mount Vernon, Sanford. And we're working with the businesses and the residents to improve the quality of life. We're going to have people cleaning up the streets during the day, offering West Waters jobs, and just working with the merchants with facades. And so my motto is Ferry Street in downtown Newark, the Newark Downtown District, which is a business improvement district. Ferry Street is a business improvement district. So they look like they look because of the fact that they are organized and they work with the businesses. So that's what we're doing in the West Ward.
Okay, got you.
Yeah.
So this is a good opportunity, a nice segue.
Mm-hmm.
So what do you say to people, and I've heard this before, and
mm-hmm.
recently actually, what do you say to people who say nothing is going on in the West Ward, the West Ward is the worst ward, and challenge you in terms of saying Councilman Joe McCollum isn't getting anything done? So what I would like for you to do for the
mm-hmm.
audience and for those, especially those who live in the West Ward,
right,
is kind of list these past 4 years,
wow,
some of the accomplishments that you have been initiating and that has been occurring in the West Ward under the leadership of Councilman Joe McCollum.
Okay, that's a good question. Well, listen, I got elected, I got sworn in July 1st, 2014. By the end of August, I had persuaded public service to donate $100,000 to a Boylan Rec Center, which didn't have a basketball court, didn't have any rims. If you ride past Boylan Street, you'll see a beautiful basketball court. You come down further by West Side. What was there was an abandoned building, sat there for numerous years, just sitting there by itself, a nuisance in the community. What do you have there now? A soccer field, a beautiful soccer field. Kipp Schools built a soccer field, but I negotiated an agreement with them, with West Side, where West Side soccer team could use the field when available.
Right.
If you come down, you have a school on Littleton Avenue. Sat there, the old boys club sat there for how long? Probably 20 years. I think they opened it for a while, then it closed back down. Shaquille O'Neal had donated money. It was a mess in the community. I had to keep getting it cleaned up. Look what's there now,
mm-hmm.
Kipp School. They work with the community, West Side Alumni Association, the mosque down there. What is it, Temple 25. They work with those guys, let them have the, meetings in there and different events in there. They have a beautiful playground, a field on the side of the school. You know, it's just, I believe in beautifying the community because what you see determines how you feel and how you think. So I want people to be proud of what they see when they come up through the corridors. So coming over Littleton, you got Georgia King Village. Years and years and years, historically, you hear Georgia King Village, the worst place in the world. Negotiated agreement with L&M, which bought the building. They hired West Waters. They hired minority contractors. You don't hear any crime coming from there. We have a zero tolerance policy there. And so that'll allow us to build a ward up. Across the street from Georgia King Village, you have the switching station. Now, I was working on this switching station with public service before I was elected, the Fairmount switching station. And it was a big, not actually a fight, but disagreements over whether it should go there or not. We ended up getting it there because I understood that it was mandated by Homeland Security that public service had to upgrade the infrastructure, electric and gas lines. We couldn't continue to have blackouts and brownouts in the West.
Right.
So what happened with that? We got an agreement. Out of the agreement, the city is getting $42 million. Out of that, I have an agreement in the West Ward for a $5 million community center, which is going to go in the Fairmount.
Oh, beautiful.
Part of the money
they
used.
Tell me something, Councilman McCollum.
Yes.
You mentioned that switching station, and I recall that and how controversial it was.
Mm-hmm.
Now, what was the main argument about that, that it was going to cause cancer in the community? And that's what I kept hearing, that that switching station was bad for the West Ward, it was going to cause
right.
cancer for the community,
right.
and all types of other negative things. Could you address those concerns that people were raising then, because apparently it looks like nobody's catching cancer or nobody's gotten sick from it, and it's actually part of the development of the West Ward as well as increasing
exactly.
the revenue that's coming into that district.
Exactly. So the $42 million was an upfront payment in lieu of taxes that we negotiated. Public service has never done anything like that before. So we used the money to help develop the city. Part of the money is going for the riverfront project, part of it for 505 Clinton Avenue. You have projects in the East Ward, in the North Ward, and it's all towards beautifying the city. But now I did my research on the switching station. It doesn't generate any EMFs. So you have more EMFs coming out of a cell phone than you do from the switching station. It only switches the electricity where it's needed the most. Like you'd have a surge protector in your house. That's basically what it is. It doesn't generate the electric. That's generated down in the East Ward, the electrical power. So there were people that were putting out myths and, you know, trying to, you know, putting out false information, trying to scare the community for their own selfish agendas. But I always looked at the bigger picture. I knew we were in a budget deficit, that we needed to partner with corporations. And so I took the chance, even at the expense of losing the election, I took the chance. And now what has happened? There, part of the switching station is the upgrade of the electrical and gas systems. So when any of the residents see public service working on a street, rest assured that that street is going to be paved. So there's a total of 450 to 500 streets in the city. See, it's not just affecting the West Ward. It's affecting the whole
right.
grid from the East Ward going all the way up to, I think, Livingston. And
right.
so, yeah, they're upgrading the electrical and gas infrastructure. That's why they're working on these streets, and they're going to pave all of the streets, all of the streets that they work on. Then we're voting tonight at the council meeting on other streets that the city is getting grant money to pave. So,
right.
as you said before, we have been neglected in the ward for a long time. These streets were bad before I got in the office. The lights were dim before I got in the office. I understand their issues, and I'm working to address those issues. And no one, you know, I'm probably the only person that ever been on every street in the ward. And people don't even know how far the West Ward goes. It goes all the way over to 3rd Avenue by Casburger Field. From there, it goes to Irvington. So, you know, you have to know the ward. And, you know, I see signs people put up, and they have them in the Central Ward and the South Ward. They don't even know the boundaries of the ward. So it takes a lot of work. It doesn't happen by miraculously, and you have to do the work, and you have to know what you're doing.
Right. And the other thing is, one of the big things nationwide is rebuilding America's infrastructure.
Rebuilding
so the fact that they are tearing up those streets and improving the power grid in the
exactly.
long term, that's going to be very, very positive. for residents of the West Ward. Also, like you said, just having those streets paved, just having nice paved streets prevent potholes. It beautifies the neighborhood. It beautifies the community.
Right.
And I'm hoping that the switching station folks are employing African Americans and Latinos to be a part of that growth and be a part of that rebuilding of the infrastructure. So I don't know if you negotiated that, but that would be a good plus if that's occurring.
Let me tell you how I operate. Any project, anybody that builds and they're using city funds like tax credits, anything, I demand that they hire local, and I demand that they do minority contracts.
Beautiful.
So the days of saying, oh, we can't find qualified black contractors, I find them. You know, it's not that easy because many black minority contractors can't meet the bond. So that's how they've been holding them out. They're saying, oh, he can't meet a $10 million bond or $15 million bond. So with the public service agreement, we had a program where the minority contractors could work under the bond of Gengoli and Son, who was the general contractor. So the subcontractors could work under their bond. So that's how we got around that. So we had the electrical, the sidewalks, landscaping, five or six black minority companies on there. That's still working because, you know, we're having a ribbon cutting for that April 11th, and I'm inviting all of the community now to stay tuned. I don't know, me and the mayor will be there, and this is probably the proudest thing that I've done. Because people were, oh, you're going to lose the election. And I stuck to my guns. And I've been sticking to my guns. And now the West Ward is benefiting. Well, not only the West, the whole city is benefiting.
Right. Well, that says a lot to me that you didn't kowtow and capitulate to those who were criticizing you, and you stood for something you believed in, even at the expense of potentially not getting reelected, because I recall that noise, and I think I was a part of that noise. That
remember,
was going on.
Yeah, remember, I was
fine
how much noise that was, but I knew what I knew, and people just don't have the information. That's the main thing, and I find out when I actually have community meetings or and can share the information, people can understand better. But not bragging on myself, but I can get things done. And I work with the mayor. I have relationships with most of the presidents, and I'm on the board of North Community Economic Development, and I just know what I'm doing. I don't know any other way to put it.
Right.
You know,
You know, if that's how you feel, it's not bragging. You're just confident.
No,
and I don't have
no
problem with that, and I'm sure the audience doesn't. But when you have people that's tearing you down every chance they get, if you don't speak up for yourself and highlight your accomplishments and highlight your concern for the community and the residents of the city, especially in your particular case, the West Ward, then that negative narrative that people put out there starts to stick. You got to fight back because those guys won't stop. And if you don't fight back, trust me, the negative narrative that they put out about you will begin to take shape and begin to take hold. And that's one of the reasons why I'm so happy that you came on the show tonight to give you a fair opportunity to reach some people and challenge all of those negative things that they've been saying. And I just wanted to say something else, and we're going to move on. I was really impressed with your speech at the West Ward rally. Not just me. I think everybody in that room saw Joe McCollum that they didn't know, at least I didn't know, existed. I saw passion. I saw a very articulate gentleman defending his record, and I actually learned about some of the progressive things going on in the West Ward that I never heard anybody talk about until I heard it come from you. So that's why you have to talk about your accomplishments, because, like I said, the people who want to kneecap you, all they're going to do is find any negative thing they can to go ahead on and highlight that. So I was impressed with that. It was a beautiful day, as a matter of fact. It was a beautiful event. I came out of that daggone event on cloud nine. And then after you got up and did your thing, Mayor Baraka got up, and he did something that really touched me. You remember when he was walking like in small steps, and then you got the insurance guy over here, but he's also related to what's going on with the contract.
See, that's what people don't know. If,
right.
if you know, if you knew the whole story and the connections on why things are happening, and my thing was, I spoke. Listen, I learned early in the game, I'm all right as long as I speak before Baraka. Don't speak after Baraka.
Got that right.
And I don't profess to be a great soaring speaker. That's not my thing. Is just being honest and telling the truth,
right?
And doing it with passion more so than being a great orator. Baraka's talented with that. He's one of the most talented people in the country as far as being a speaker, and more power to him. But I know how to be honest in what I'm saying. And I can speak to what I've already done, not a hypothesis or any guesswork, anything. I can speak to what's actually being done and has been approved to be done. Look, you had the sheriff's department coming over there. Well, that's from my relationship with Joe D. Now, people can talk about Joe D or talk about this person. Listen, I need Joe D. He does the parks. The parks are beautiful in the West Ward.
Right.
Westside Park, Vailsburg Park, Ivy Hill Park, the best-kept secrets. And
So
I'm working with whoever can help me service my residents. And me and Joe D, have a great relationship, as I do with most of the people, even Cory Booker. I mean, you know, whoever can help the ward, because it's not about me, Osman. It's bigger than me.
Right.
It's bigger than the mayor. I told you earlier, I study sociology, so it's disheartening to see black people at each other's throats, because we know the history of black people being at each other's throats.
Right.
I decided I'm going to forge ahead, and I'm approaching this military style. So people can say what they want. They can put out fake little flyers and this and that, But what I'm going to do is keep forging. Nobody can say that I lied to them or that I'm getting paid or taking payoffs or anything like that. Because, I'm committed to this. And
right.
to something else you said, it's like, you know, I believe, you know, they said in, the great little saying, you have to define yourself for yourself lest you be what others see you to be.
Right.
And that's how I approach it. So I have to define myself. I'm not the big political person. I'm not as great a politician as, say, someone like Booker. I'm just not that political. But necessarily so now, because people need to know that the people in the know what I do. My colleagues, the other politicians from other cities, I'd be shocked when I go to other cities. You know, they see the council meetings like parts, I think, to Philadelphia, Atlantic City. When I go out of town, they all know. They all follow Newark. And I was like, well, wow, I'm like Booker. I'm thought of more highly outside the city than in the city.
Right.
Because the people here are caught up in myths, and they're on that Facebook, and people could put anything on Facebook.
Right.
And
absolutely.
Most of the time it's not true. They don't know what they're talking about. And so you have to deal with it. But, you know, I don't like it one bit. And I don't necessarily get beat up on Facebook, but it's just the lack of misinformation that I see on it. And, you know, I'm like, wow, if we could ever take the blinders off. You got a young black guy in the office. Listen, there's a reason 8 of us are running together.
Right.
There's a reason. We don't always agree. I haven't always agreed with the mayor, but I'm down here. I see how hard this guy works. He gives me inspiration, because if he can take the beatings, the stuff that people throw at him,
right.
that's the least
yeah.
that I can do. And then I stay
right.
prayed up, and I have a lot of ministers that are like mentors to me, and I stay prayed up. You have to stay prayed up, and I just keep going, because it's bigger than me.
Right.
You know.
Yeah. No, you're absolutely right. One of the things that I really respect about Mayor Baraka, and it starts at the top, the leadership, is how pragmatic he is.
Right.
a lot of people had him wrong, including me. But the man is very pragmatic. The man is very smart. He's very skilled in terms of strategy and strategic planning and strategic thinking.
Mm-hmm.
And people continue to underestimate him. They continue to underestimate him. That's why they get beat. That's why they get whipped. And like you were saying, an example was the relationship with Joey D. Now,
right.
Mayor Baraka could have stuck to his guns. He had a beef with Joe D, but he thought more about the citizens of Newark and the interests of them and what their children are going to get and the beautifying the community and whatever it takes to,
right.
for, you know, to push forward the progress of Newark. And he formed a relationship, and Joe D said he was wrong. He was wrong because nobody predicted how smart, intelligent, and pragmatic the mayor would be. And in your case, the same thing, that you also formed a relationship with Jody because you needed beautiful parks. You needed well-maintained parks.
And the corridors.
So I respect
South
that.
South Orange Avenue was a county road.
Right.
Central Avenue,
that.
County road. I need the
right.
county.
Right.
They're building a trade
you know.
School over there, the Donald and Payne Trade School. The Sheriff's Department is right across the street from it. That's changing
right.
the whole neighborhood. He took some blighted properties that I sponsored to the county, and what is he doing? He's going to make parks out of them, open space. The school is going to have a restaurant in it. We don't have restaurants in the Westward. We don't have medical doctors. I have a medical building coming across the street from Westside.
Beautiful.
Yeah. I sponsored 16 lots, empty lots, to go to the Urban League. They're going to build brand-new homes on those in the Fairmount. Three family homes. We want to attract local Newarkers to be able to afford homes. That way they
right.
can live in the house and rent out the other two floors and afford to maintain and own a home. So
right.
all of this happens. We're going to have 60 homes being built at the same time. I think they're going to announce the initiative right the second week of March at the same time in the West Ward. They're going to all start the initiative. We're going to have the ribbon cutting, and we're going to do 60 three-family homes at the same time, but the goal is 250. This is going to be
right.
the first 60. Listen, I'm at the table. In Newark Community Economic Development, listen, and I'm passionate about this because I know how hard I've worked. When I got in, it was Brick City Development, and we know
right.
Brick City Development was a mess. I got in, the council voted me on to the board over there. The board voted me as the chairman. So for the first 6 months, through the name change, through a forensic audit and everything, I was the chairman at Newark Community Economic Development. Now we have the community storefront projects. We're involved in all of the development that goes on, all of the planning, right? And people don't know that. I volunteer on it. I don't get paid to be on that board. But it's strategic for me doing what I need to do in the West Ward. And in the city. And I make sure things go right. There are no bad contracts. I had them even change the scoring system. Like when somebody puts in bids, we take the top three bids. Well,
right.
you automatically get 10 points for being a Newark-based company. That wasn't happening
right.
before. So that allows us to be able to get more Newark-based companies as subcontractors. But people don't know that. But that's how we change in Newark. It's this the pettiness, a house, he didn't clean this house. You know how many houses we have, illegal dumping sites in the West Ward? And the thing that's disappointing to me, and I'm not complaining, but I'm just saying, people will come to the council meeting, especially everybody that's running. Any of the people that's running have never called my office for anything.
No, they don't want to.
For
they don't
anything,
want to solve a problem.
Right.
They wanted to stay messed
they wanted
up,
to stay
to
messed
continue
up
to criticize
and,
you.
And hope I don't find out about it so I can straighten it out. And then they'll come to the council and say, but you didn't bolt a receptacle to the ground. One of the candidates, she got mad because she said, could I get a receptacle bolted to the ground? So I said, well, did anybody steal the receptacle or – why would you want it bolted down? And, you know, they can't empty it if you bolt it down. Why do you, out of all the things in the ward, I'm like, really? People, I'm trying to make the ward safe. And you're talking about bolting down. So, that's the stuff I have to deal with, that they have no clue. A couple of the people were aides to me. That's why I was telling you that it came out, the spook who sat by the door.
Right. Explain that. Explain that, because when you gave your speech, you said
you
the spook who
guys,
sat by the door.
Listen, all of my aides that I hired were not working. I came from the VA, and I had worked with people downtrodden that had turned their lives around, either mental health or through drugs. That was my background, working as a licensed professional counselor at the VA. So these guys, I hired them. A couple of them did a little bit on my campaign, a little bit. And I'm seeing them. They profile them, but they're not responding to the residents. And I know how hard I work, and then when I go out, they say, "Councilman, nobody got back to me." I'm like, "What do you mean nobody got back to you? I got 60,000 people. I can't be everywhere." So then I saw that they were sabotaging me, mm-hmm. And so at the right time, I waited, and now I have new staff members who are on the ground responding with no agenda, and so I don't know, man. All I know is I served, I went to military, I went to school, and I've been a role model volunteering at the VA. Even when I wasn't working there, I volunteered as I did a group lecture discussion in inpatient rehab for 20 years. Every Saturday, even when I was campaigning the first time, I would go from 1 to 2 every Saturday for 20 years. And that was what I was doing without a camera following me. So, I consider myself a role model. I try to be a role model. If a educated black man who's trying to do the right thing is not a role model in this town, then I don't know what is. I taught college at Essex County. I could have taught anywhere. I taught college at Essex County for 7 years. I went there. I graduated there. I came back to teach. And you know what I mean? And I did a wonderful job doing that. And that's not me talking. That was the scores. They grade you.
Right.
They come sit in your class and they grade you. And so, it's about the city. We don't make a whole lot of money. People say that too.
Right.
We don't make a lot of money. I took a pay cut. I'm underpaid. But it's for me, it's bigger than that. I want to leave my mark.
Right, right. As far as this campaign is concerned, who are the two top opponents against you? That I know it's a female, and I know Marcellus Bishop is one of them. And there's a female, too, that's running from the Cheneyfield cartel.
Right.
I haven't heard nothing
Cheneyfield
from her,
cartel.
But...
I'm
sorry?
You know what? There's people running, but I'm really not concerned because I know they all don't know anything combined. Listen, two of them were aides, and I know they don't know anything or they would still be aides. Bishop was still sitting out here at the front desk on Facebook every day when, instead of being out here with the residents and stuff, I was still on my payroll out here planning to take out petitions, so... I don't even acknowledge him, because who does that? But the other people, they need to worry about what I'm doing. I have support, organization, seniors, general from reacting to the pastors. They'll see how hard it is. If you're not the incumbent, you don't have relationships, you can't get into churches, you can't get into senior buildings. I do stuff for seniors. As a matter of fact, I recently became a senior myself, so.
Right,
you know what
right.
I mean? So, and I'm proud of it, and I'm doing well. But it's hard. And so that's the reason I came on the show, because it helped to debunk many of these myths that's out here. And people that don't know you and they hear other people say this about you and that about you, but I don't know. Listen, all I know is I have a – you never, if you ever came to my office, you'll see. I have a lot of recognition from a lot of different places. I was even Veteran of the Year last year in New Jersey.
Fantastic.
I do a thing for homeless veterans every year, the stand down at JFK. We service over 400 veterans. Well, I've been spearheading that since I've been a councilman, and I volunteered for it before I was a councilman for the last 20 years or so. And we do the homeless veterans over there. We give them clothes and haircuts along with Assemblywoman Tucker. And my colleagues come out, and I'm just proud of the things that I do. Well, I'm chairman of the health committee, the health committee, the veterans committee, the homeless committee. I'm on the education committee, affirmative action committee. So I'm dealing with all of those things, and I don't have to, but I put myself in strategic places where I can have the most effect. So, you know, it's by design.
Okay. So one of the things you said, that residents aren't going to recognize the West Ward in 4 years from now. Tell us about that. What do you foresee? What do you plan for the future of the West Ward that they will not recognize it and be happy and pleased with?
Okay, so, you know, when I used to, when I was working downtown, even before I was a councilman, when I would come up South Orange Avenue, it just used to strike me when I passed Rutgers University, because the West starts right there at the Pathwalk.
Right.
On South Orange and Bergen. And it just used to strike me, just coming up South Orange Avenue, I used to be embarrassed. I just was embarrassed that the ward looked like it did. And you come up by West Side, you had abandoned lots. So you know what? About a month ago, maybe a month and a half, I met with the people. They're going to put an L.A. Fitness there at the Pathmark.
Oh, nice.
You're going to have an L.A. Fitness there with medical offices in there. Because I'm telling all of these corporations, we're a medical desert and a food desert. Well, you're getting an L.A. Fitness right there. So that lets you know what they think about the West Ward. You come up, you know, you had a business improvement district. I'm working with the Masjid there with Akbar.
Right.
Imam Akbar, that's my guy. And just with the stores, I get my hair cut right there on 12th Street next to the Cozy Corner. You know, I'm in the hood. People, you get your hair cut, you go to cleaners here. That's what I do. You know, because I look at this as my role. We all have roles as a community, in the community. And it's just my role to be the councilman. But the residents have their roles. Everybody has a role. And that's how I view, you know, sociological perspective. That's how I view it. But getting back to your point, coming up, I just want to see it look better.
I want to ask you something before we move on.
Mm-hmm.
You said you were working with Imam Akbar Muhammad. Now,
yeah.
Those stores in that building, in that liquor store, you know, it's so ironic you got the masjid there. Maybe it's not ironic. Maybe that's why the masjid should be there. But you got the masjid there. You got this slum housing. I think it's six families, something like that. And you had a liquor store. If I recall, I don't know if it's still there. But I do remember that even when I was a kid, man, that used to bother me. I was just like, the contrast, you know, when is this place going to improve? So when you have situations like that, how do you get them? Is there a way to get them out of there in order to beautify the community, bring in other development, and, you know, make the street sparkle, make the community sparkle?
Right.
But it's hard when you got this rickety liquor store and these rickety buildings there. So what's the process that you have to do? Is it a long process, or why is it, you know, that these people with these shabby housing and stuff are allowed to remain or find a way to remain?
Well, because nothing was really being done for whatever reason. Listen, 2006, when Booker came in, I left the VA to work at the health department as an emergency preparedness. And I really got to see the condition and what was being done. And it was just not enough focus. And we were not in a budget deficit then.
Right.
You know, and listen, I can't even explain it now. If I had been operating, or me and the mayor, the administration, operating in a budget surplus, forget about it.
Right.
But we came in with a $90 million budget deficit. And so we were under state control, the schools and the city budget. And we couldn't really buy equipment. If we hired somebody, we have to wait till the monitor is in the building to sign off on it. And, you know, we've been really operating hamstrung. And, you know, it's been very frustrating. But now, the next budget, we won't be under state control. The schools are under city control. And, I mean,
beautiful.
How much more could you do in 3.5 years? I got $500 million worth of development. And, listen, getting back to coming up South Orange Avenue, we're going to take care of all of that. That's code violation, code enforcement. We were able to hire more code enforcement officers this year, maybe 15 or 20. And
right.
We're going to put demands on the property owners. You
Good.
Can't come at property owners if you only have 6 or 7 code enforcement officers
right.
for the whole city. So, you know what I mean? So we're gradually working our way up. We're going to beautify the corridor, especially with the Business Improvement District. The guy that has the pizza parlor right next to the liquor store down on South Orange Avenue, right up from the Masjid, Papa Pat is on the Business Improvement Board.
Right.
And that's by design. He's a good guy. He was in Brooklyn when Brooklyn started really coming back and doing the corridors and fixing stuff up. And that's one of the models, too. We want you to be able to ride up South Orange Avenue, stop, sit down, have your coffee, and sit outside. So we're ways from that, but that's the goal. You know, not
right.
just to just be able to walk. We want you to be able to come like you do down on Ferry Street, sit down outside, and have a coffee, a latte. So that's the goal. And so we're working to beautify coming all the way up.
Right.
All the way up.
I've seen neighborhoods that needed to be changed and needed growth and improvement
mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
in towns, for that matter.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a 20 to 25 year project.
Right.
It really
right.
is. It's not overnight. It is a 20 to 25 year project.
You
and
know
as
that.
You start growing and improving, and then it just grows exponentially, where you look around, you will not be able to recognize the town anymore. Or you won't recognize certain sections anymore. But that comes with information. If you have
mm-hmm.
information, if you do
mm-hmm.
research, and if you're not just a casual person that allows others to formulate your ideals and opinions,
right. Right.
you know that it takes a while and
it takes
time.
Time. 3 years
does.
In. Yeah,
yeah,
3.5 years in. Bro. And they're like, so what are you doing? Are you kidding me? You got schools, playgrounds, the parks done. The sheriff's department. You ask for public safety. Well, are you kidding me? That's what's more public safety can you get? It's moving from the North Ward to the West Ward, intentionally so.
Right.
Because they closed down 2 tech schools, Bloomfield Tech and North 13th Tech. That's what's going in the Donald Wayne Payne Trade School. So they're going to be, listen, I'm working with Fontura and Chief Ryan. And the sergeants over there have them working with Director Ambrose of the Newark Police Department, public safety. Because once that happens, the sky is the limit. Because I'm
That's
already
key
meeting
too.
With developers every single day.
That's
even
key, public safety.
Public
so
safety.
So tell me something. I don't know if you do this or not,
right.
but do you keep statistics as to how many murders were in the West Ward from year to year?
No.
Okay.
No, you know why? For me, the numbers, I mean, it's nothing really, and that's for the direct, that's easy enough to get from Ambrose, and they have the numbers. But I know that if we keep heading in the direction we're heading in and make things look better and get rid of these abandoned properties and chase these drug dealers out and have zero tolerance, just like they do in East Orange, East Orange, don't play around. You're not going to stand out on the corners, and you're not going to be selling drugs and all that stuff. I know it's going to change. The shootings, I feel bad, but I, you know, I had to detach to a certain degree. I was going to so many funerals of young kids, and then the young lady got shot on Thanksgiving, and I had a great day.
That was
horrible. The week-wake Shabazz game, and then when that hit me about 11 o'clock that night, it just knocked me to my knees. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, I didn't have a camera with me, but I went by to the father, and I talked to him about anything you need. Then come to find out, they really didn't have money for the funeral. So behind me, partnering with these corporations, MCJ Amelior paid for most of it. And they're doing the West Side Heights project. Next to West Side, that block from South Orange to 13th, from 11th to 12th, where Ambassador Chicken used to be.
Yep.
That's going to be the West Side Heights project. So they're doing the designs and the plans. Then I'll have community meetings. But that's going to be housing geared towards professionals to keep nurses, doctors, police in our community. You can't maintain a business improvement district if you only have a $30,000 median income.
Right,
you
got to
have people who have disposable income in the community.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
So it's not about gentrification. That's not going to happen. That's not even an issue in the West Ward. But you have to have people who have disposable income.
Right. Well, one of the things that I'm glad about, to be quite honest with you, many mayors, and I won't name them, but I've talked to them, but many mayors in Essex County, they're not really concerned about education. They like to keep that under the radar. They like they don't like to talk about education. They'll talk about how they reduce crime, how they reduce murders, and you know, they have pageants about how tough they are on crime. But you never hear them talk about the progress in their school system or lack thereof.
Uh-huh.
And the one thing I like about Mayor Baraka and his team and the council is the way you guys embrace education. And where you guys publicly take on the challenge to say we are going to improve these schools so that our Newark citizens, our young black boys, our young brown boys and girls, and black girls and brown girls, and whoever, Caucasians, whoever is in their Portuguese, they will have an education that will allow them to get to the next level by going to college. And not just going to college, but completing college and graduating. Because that is what's going to stop the gentrification, is a generation of educated young men and women to take advantage of the opportunities that's coming. So I respect the fact that the mayor and the council of Newark have taken on this task and are not hiding from the fact that, we have an issue with our educational system, but we're publicly saying that we're going to improve it, we're going to make it better, and our children are going to be part of the new Newark and the prosperity that is to follow.
Let me tell you something. I use this analogy. How many people with master's degrees do you see out here robbing, sticking somebody up on the street?
None.
And so it is something to be said about education. And I'm glad we're getting control of the schools back, because I have an issue with the curriculum. It needs to be some things in the curriculum that are more germane to Newarkers. Pride in the community, not littering, things like that, not littering.
That starts when they're young.
Understanding drug
class,
abuse
like
and
that.
How drug
yeah.
dealing affects the community. I mean, these generic curriculums just geared towards taking exams, I don't agree with. Listen, I went to school. I went to Belmont Runyon, Dayton, Clinton Place, Shabazz, and I think I had a good education. When I went to college, I was always one of the top students. So I don't know why they had to do all this changing.
Right.
So you know what I mean? So we need to get back to kids going to school around the corner from where they live at.
Right.
Not having to catch two and three buses across town to go to school, putting stress on the grandmothers and the mothers. One kid goes into the Central Ward, one kid goes to the South Ward, which is the worst thing ever. And so that's what, so we'll build a community up, then you could do that. But once the community got tore down, they were saying, ah, not enough students go to that school. We want to close the school. So
right.
Now we're fighting to rebuild the community, get these houses built, people, Norcas, living in these houses, build these communities back up. You know, so like I said, I study sociology. It's about the community.
Absolutely.
You know what I mean?
And,
so.
And following up on that, as a kid coming up in Newark, it was very interesting when you talk about community. And it wasn't, it was very, like I said, very interesting in the sense that, you know, I was born in the Nation of Islam. I went to Muhammad University of Islam. I went to Burgaw Avenue School up until the first grade.
Right.
Muhammad University of Islam up until the 10th grade. And then I transferred over to Weekway when the Honorable Elijah Muhammad died. But
right.
One of the things as a kid that I did notice, and I'm lucky because I had good examples, but I did notice the people driving the nice cars, the people that were dressing the nicest, the people that had wads in their pocket when they were coming to corner stores and pull out a big knot of money
were
all criminals. They were criminals,
right.
You know. But I had example as a kid, my father who was in the soda business. I had Brother John who was in the fish market. I had Brother Hanif who owned the community store there on Chancellor Avenue and Wainwright. I had so many productive examples to kind of counterbalance some of the things that I was seeing in the streets. And I even knew those who were in the masjid that were criminals and doing wrong and saying that they believe in Allah while at the same time selling their people dope.
My father let me know about
everybody. That's one thing. Because he never wanted me to admire a dope dealer. Just because he's driving a Cadillac, just because he got a diamond on his pinky.
Man.
So when you say building up community and having people with disposable income, these will serve as the examples for the kids that's coming up to see that education can uplift you, put you on the right path, and you can have the material things that you like without being a criminal or without, you know, carrying a pistol in your pocket and beating somebody or robbing somebody.
Osman, you know what it does? It builds up your self-esteem. Like I went to school, got educated. You can't take that away from me. No matter what room I walk into with the president of public service, with the president of Audible, with the governor, whoever I'm in the room with, I usually have a comparable resume to anybody, whatever room I'm sitting in.
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
I do have about
15 letters behind my name, all types
right.
of, you know what I mean? And,
right.
You know, when people are in the room with me for long, it doesn't take them long to see. So, you know, I get respect as what I am. So that serves me well, too. But I usually, when I walk into a room, I know that I have as much or a better resume than anybody in the room.
Fantastic.
So, you know what I mean?
Brother,
so that guides me. Hmm?
Listen, this was a great show.
Yeah.
I learned a lot. I feel good after this show, and I'm certainly confident that
right.
the listeners to this show really got a different perspective of Joe McCollum. Everything
right.
is going to be great. Progress is on the way. Thank you so much for being on Raw.
Yeah.
Thank
you
so much for
it.
Being on Raw Talk Radio. No, yeah, it's about getting the truth out, and it's about getting information.
Mm-hmm.
And I wish you the best of luck, Team Baraka, all the way. We're going to run them. We're going to win. And we're going to have the naysayers wishing that they have never doubted us. Thank you so much.
Okay, brother.
Councilman Joe
Thank
McCollum,
you.
My brother.
I'll see you around.
Take care.
Thanks, everybody. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.